I met many of you, but not all. So my background is actually in linguistics, although I grew up in an engineering family. I work as a technical writer. I've been contacting for about 10 years now. I've had a computer for over 20. And I've been doing crafts as long as I remember. I wasn't so good at it when I was a kid, but I liked playing with things and learning stuff from books. And my interest in different types of braids started actually when I was 10, 12 years old. I was sick home, and Mom brought me a book of different types of braids and gave me a box of yarn. And I was pretty nice and quiet for that week. And it's been a bit on and off. Sometimes I haven't done crafts for a couple of weeks, some years. Sometimes I've done a lot of them. This is the answer to the question, and what on earth did I need those 2 cent coins for? These really are, these are braid bobbins. They have a 2 cent coin, a 1p coin inside, a paper outside, and then I wrapped Japanese washi tape around. And this is what they are for. This is called a karakumi die, and this is a one of the Japanese dies, a braiding stand. They have lots of these. They are almost like looms, but the difference is that when you do fabric on a loom, you have different warp and weft. You first put the warp in, and then you put a separate weft in this way. While on the Japanese braiding stands, same threads do both jobs. So all the threads that are there are the ones that form the braid. Nothing extra is put in. This is when it was set up, before I started at all. And 16 was the minimum number of bobbins. I could just barely get a minimum braid. And here is, you see a little better how it works. It's got lots of little slots, so you can do a lot wider fabrics. And you keep each pair of threads in their own slots. And then you move it to the side when you're not working, and then you move them in the center when you're working on them, and that kind of stuff.
When seeing that pictures here from Maori, and I can understand, it is automatic or just with the handmade in the bobbins or what?
I think it's not automatic for me yet, and this one has a real problem because it's not... Everything is twisted the same way. I'm used to braids where you twist everything towards the center, or away from the center, so you get an axle of symmetry in the middle. These are all S-twisted, so everything goes to the left, and I find my brain doesn't cope with this yet. Eventually it will get used to it. It will become automatic, but it is not that for me. This is a slightly unsharp picture of the structure, and here is my first diamond. That's the fabric, and then you can put multiple diamonds next to each other. I think I had a photo here of somebody else's that I grabbed in the conference. This is why I need lots of bobbins. Because each of those small patterns on the top, I think each of them needs 16 bobbins, or 32 possibly. So, and it's really annoying we don't use 2 cent coins. I grabbed every single one that I found in the house, but I just got... And then I had to buy some washers, but they cost like 5 cents each. So I managed to, and only the third try brought me correct, because it has to be about 3 grams. Anyway, this was the explanation to why. And then we go back to what Tehtaas is. Three things started this project. One happened 2 years ago on the last day, on my last day in Brailov at contact meeting 4. I had a crochet book, which I had bought in Prague. It was in Czech, but it's got graphs. That's fine. I've later found out it's originally American, so that was kind of stupid, but never mind. And Hans saw it and said, "I say MetaPost all over." And that was the first time ever I thought MetaPost might be something for me. Because I have no background in programming. I'm used to doing vector graphics on CorelDRAW and nowadays Inkscape. But, and I, because I worked with context and because I before that done HTML, I understand the concept of describing something and to make it happen. So my first word processor was WordStar. So I started before Windows, and that has helped a lot because I'm used to thinking in a more abstractly. And anyway, so this is a crochet, I think this one was a blanket. Pretty typical. And I find this usually more clear too. Anyway, that was the first thing that happened. The second thing was that I suddenly had too much time. I got a burnout 2.5 years ago, and after that I've been 14 months out of 28 on sick leave. And I had to come up with something to do. On the moment I'm sick leave from May to November, which explains why I'm not here as a representative of my employer. I still have my job at Cape Patents, but as I got sent off to sick leave in May, I had to decide whether I want to come here or not, and if I want to come, I had to pay it myself. So I'm here as a representative of my tiny little firm, which has to do with teaching crafts and selling craft products and that kind of things. And the third thing was my migration to Mac. I've been slowly going over from Windows to Mac over 5, 6, 7 years. And until, also when I was at work, I had a Windows computer. I have the mobile desktop I had here last year, it's my work computer. So I had a Windows machine, fine. So I could deal with craft programs that exist only in Windows, like the tablet viewing program. But then I bought this MacBook Air, and especially, I was only working 2 days a week anyway, and especially after I'm not working at all, I only have a Mac. Ergo, I have to deal with OpenOffice because I don't want to pay for a Microsoft Office Business version, and I'm gone over to Inkscape, which works fine for me, but I'm getting bored because most of the braids are actually, as somebody pointed out, listen, they are all topology. They are repeating things. Most of the things are so you set it up and then you just go on because the setup decides how it's going to look. So I got tired of going in Inkscape and, well, I'm pretty good at setting stuff on grid. I got tired of duplicating and filling and moving and if I had to change a color, I had to go through like 15 million different steps, little thingies to change the color of each. So I was like, okay, time to learn MetaPost. It's just, I couldn't deal anymore. I was like, I can't deal with this.
Brave decisions.
Yeah. I knew there would be, but again, the thing that really did it was this. This is a finger loop braiding instruction. And the problem with finger loop, knitting is easy, crochet is easy because those are very standardized nowadays. There may be 2-3 different ways of describing those, but it's fairly standardized language, both in written text, in abbreviations, and when you do graphs. Like, I can read that crochet graph without reading the legend. Because they're standardized marks. There's a double crochet, there's a triple, there's a chain, and that's it. Just go on. Finger loop braiding doesn't have this. This is a problem with many of the braiding techniques. And I've decided that I want to, especially there's nothing in Finnish, but even the English stuff is slightly difficult to understand. So I've decided that I want to make instructions that work. And that means I'm making them my way. And because I decided to share the instructions online, I'm not limited by space, which is often a problem. Because you have to try to squish it into this much space. And that's kind of hard. And I could easily deal with doing the, those are fingers and loops. And actually, this is really funny because the marking L-A-L-B, L-C-L-B is from 15th century. There's we have instruction books from 15th century and 17th century, and surprisingly the 15th century ones are better. And they really do, in the beginning of the book, they explain that we mark first finger on the left hand, LA, second finger on the left hand, LB, and so on. So I adopted that marking, but then I decided to... Then this... otherwise this graph is from... Come on, I need to set that. Yeah, I haven't really had any presentations with this computer yet, so... I have to make sure it doesn't go to sleep. So the problem was not so much these. That's a piece of cake. But then I suddenly realized that making this type of arrows in Inkscape is really difficult. It's a real pain in the butt. You have to do busier curves, and then you have to fiddle with them, and you move one part and the other part goes...
Okay.
And I was like, okay, Metapost time. I can manage this. Well, I didn't quite by myself, but I can manage it. And what's different to the earlier instructions that just because I got the, I have the space, I have both what you do and what the result is.
Marie, can you zoom in a bit?
Yes. So there's what loop you're supposed to pick up and where you're supposed to put it and how it looks afterwards. So you can check that you've got the right color up and correct finger and all that. And then there's the written instruction on the left too, because I know some people prefer the written instructions. So I go by graphics. So I do both. I also have here on the first page, there's a starting position. It's just, this is how you put them before you do anything. This is a typical basic grade that once you've set it up, it's there. And there's actually, the grading pattern works with one color or two color loops. It's just that they have different names, but this one is easier to fathom that you need to twist the loops every once in a while. This is the only one of these I already have finished, and there's a photo of my finished braid, and I even remember to rotate it so that it's the right way compared with the instructions. But this is just part of the finger loop braiding thingy. Which way? Okay. Because of my other life, this is what I did this summer. And because I suddenly found all summer full empty, I went to more markets than I originally intended to do. This one is from Hammer Medieval Market, and I'm actually doing Lucette, not finger looping in the photo. But this is where I can't have any plastic, where modern books are frowned upon.
No iPad.
Not to talk about that. So, what I started doing, and this is going to be, this is really, I made a big project that has different parts, so I hopefully can recycle same stuff for different uses. So I can make different types of books, different types of online systems, different types of instructions. I can grab the same graphs, I can grab part of the same text. I'm also hoping to be able to have Finnish and English, possibly Swedish, always in the same file. So I have instruction for the same grade in three languages. So I can see that they're all okay, and then I grab the one or two or three I need. And this is what I call Helsinki book of braids and laces, because these are always, they're like Tollemache books, book of braids for Tollemache family. There's a nun's book, because that's how it's called in the library in Oxford. I actually have here two versions of Helsinki book. This is the earlier one I did in June. This one has samples. This is inspired by 15th century instruction books, actually 17th more like, because the instructions are very short. These don't work for a modern person. You need to know. I can now read this. I found that when I found a manuscript on a Victorian Album Museum website, I could actually read half of the instructions. That was pretty scary. So these are written for me. This is my recipe book, and it's also a sample book that people can leaf through. And there's like there's some of these great. I put it around. You'll get it. And yeah, there's also one that doesn't have instructions yet, but I just dumped it in there. This is a growing project, and this is obviously made in. Actually, this was one of my first Metapod things. I absolutely had to get this calligraphed line here. So I did a one day of why can't I understand how to make a simple path in Metapost? And these are really, they are meant to be handled. This is why I don't hand calligraph this book. My calligraphy also sucks. But even if it didn't, I wouldn't dare to take that book anywhere. This is outdoor conditions. And people clobber with it, and in the worst case it disappears. Hopefully never, but you never know.
Mm-hmm.
There. This is whole medieval fair end of July. And this is my tent. Only outing for it this year. And I really...
Is it waterproof?
Yes. I slept in it. It doesn't leak. It's an Anglo-Saxon tent, so it's very steep. So water runs off. So as long as the ground can take it, it's fine. Then you have to make a small ditch around if it gets really wet. But it was because it was raining.
With Metapost.
And, well, what is done in Metapost doesn't show very well. What actually in our contact is my posters.
Mm.
Most of my posters are now in, not all, there's another one here. And there's actually the Helsinki book is there. And it rained a couple of times, plus the whole night between Saturday and Sunday rained. And this is why I want to have stuff that's printed on a laser printer. Because when things happen, it doesn't run. Eventually, like that poster, it's made with glue varnish, scrapbooking, decoupage glue. And it's been varnished over and all that. It warps slightly. Nowadays it's like that. But it's still fully alive, and because it's made in contact, I can easily A, correct it, B, make a new text. So the only thing I have to be bothered with is to move the samples if they are still alive. It also happens after X summers that they are not always alive. Another project that's related to this very closely is to reorganize my samples, just because I got 10, 15, 20 years worth of stuff. This is open-end braiding, and actually this may be one of my oldest braids. Come on, I don't want you to go to sleep. Yeah, I should have said that. So, this is old. It doesn't have any text on it. It's just samples which have been put on a card, so they don't turn into a mess every time I stuff them someplace. Especially after a fair, packing is usually a very quick operation. You go basically, what you don't see in this photo is that under the bed is just back there, under the bed I got a pile of plastic boxes. That's why I got a bedspread. So I can stuff the boxes in there and then
hide them.
Yeah, and then when it's time to pack, the boxes come out and everything gets kind of put together and dumped into a box. And then I get home and then I upend them on the sofa and then I got an indescribable mess for a while, mostly. I wonder what.
It's so nice as it looks like done by a machine.
Well, it is after a while you really get, you get in a certain routine. and it starts looking like it's done by machine. It's just, and it is really, most of those are very,
it's so
very simple operations, seriously. Let's see this one. Okay, this is actually where I started, why, this is the first idea, like posters and the book. But then this is where I got tired of dealing with Inkscape. This is tablet weaving, which is basically standard tablets. There are those four holes, four corners, two sides where you can thread the thread in, which makes it somewhat more complex than standard weaving at first go just up and down. Here they go around. And I've learned to plan my tablet weaving from the start on pen and paper, but computing is much faster when you want to play around. And the wonderful program called Guntram's tablet weaving thingy is a made by a nerd for himself, which means it has features. And B, only works in Windows and not even Windows 7. Well, there's XP mode, but doesn't help me because I didn't bother to buy a Windows for this computer. So I did them in Inkscape as a Finnish tablet weaving guru. And then I was like, this is boring and these are never where they're supposed to be. And I don't want to. And what if I want to change color on five of these? I have to go click, color, click, color. It's easy if I want to change all pinks into reds, but if I only want to do some of them, it gets tricky. So, in comes MetaPose. This is a simulation, and I'll send the real thing around. And this time, really, I did the simulation first and the braid after. Some crud has been cut off from here, but most of the braid turned out pretty nice. And so this is simulation. This is how it's supposed to look when it's done. This is what we call a threading chart. It tells me what color, A, I can count how many pinks, how many whites I need. It tells me what color goes into what hole on a tablet. A, B, C, D on the side here. But these are numbered tablets, numbered left to right. I've got 10 tablets. I got 4-hole tablets, standard. And that tells me what the position of the tablet is when thread goes through, which means I put the thread through from here to here. If I mess up with that one, it doesn't matter anything here or here because those are single color, but there, it turns into a mess. This is also why I find that simulation is a good thing, because usually I manage to ignore one of the variables at some point. And then I start doing the simulation and then I go, oh, crud. And this is what I call a turning chart. This, unlike some of the simpler tablet weavings, this one is something where I need to do something active while weaving to get the heart shape. You can see in the very beginning of the braid there's a bit there where I did not do that. And you can see that it goes like that instead of doing a heart. What this indicates to me is that I have to turn this tablet a different way than everything else. Usually I turn the whole pack one quarter turn either away or towards me. But here I have to turn tablet 3 and tablet 8 the other way than all the rest. There are two ways of usually I just flip them and then I go on, but in any case, that tells me the sequence I turn stuff in. And obviously these three charts, actually surprisingly I had most problems with the threading chart because I started from an old base and that was really stupid. I had learned more MetaPose, so I had to start from the beginning. But here's another example. I found packing for this trip, I found a tablet weaving warp, which is basically a bunch of thread with knot in one end, which is going to be the top end. That's the end where I'm going to start weaving. I made this on a warping frame. I'm sure I was thinking something when I made it, but I hadn't written it down. I hadn't made a chart. And then packed with it, I found 10 tablets. And annoyingly, in a way, these are all marked, fully marked. Because sometimes what I do, I take unmarked tablets, I make them from playing cards. These are figure cardboard. I make them from playing cards, I don't mark them. I thread them in, then I fiddle with the pattern, and when I get the pattern right, then I mark the tablets. In this case, the tablets are marked, so this has to go right. This threading the tablets takes about as much time as weaving this length, I think, especially if I'm not concentrating. I can't concentrate for terribly long at the moment, so I start making mistakes really soon. So I don't want to do it many times. An annoying thing is that usually if you make a mistake in threading, you won't notice it until you start weaving. And then it depends on how bad it is. Usually you can get out, you undo what you've done, and then you take out those few threads. And if every, like, there can be, it can be threaded from the wrong side, or it can be in the wrong hole. Now I try to think what I want to make out of this warp. I counted, I got 8 green, so I must have thought about green edges. That's very typical for me. And then I had 20 white and 12 red. This makes 40 altogether, so 10 tablets of 4 threads. Just didn't make it. And I was trying to think about doing something else than what I usually do. This is a very common pattern for me. This is probably what I've been thinking about in the beginning. This is another option. This is also typical in general because oblique lines work very well. Here I tried to play a bit with the edges, and from this I got the idea of that. Which I'm not sure I like or not. It's not terribly medieval at least, but that's not necessarily an issue. And this is 10C, but doesn't matter. This is something Hans helped me a lot with. Basically, Hans gave me a snippet, and then I've been looking at it and trying to understand, and then I figured something out, and then I get... there's still a lot of problems too, but it's kind of not so bad anymore. Tablets are threaded S or Z, because it's like you have S, goes that way, you have Z, goes that way. And then I have a definition of the single stitch, the little oval. And then I go stuff, and here are the labels, and then I have the pattern. And this is now the nice thing here, because I can easily switch color. I can easily switch threading direction. Then I can also switch, because basically what the code says that TT is just for tablet. I had more tablets, but then when I saw Hans' code, I was like, I can get out of this easier. So that says the threading, Z or S. That says what color that hole is going to get. And that gives a position. I realized today that I'm kind of funny because I'm weaving from bottom up, but here my code is from top down, but somehow it feels more natural to write it. So even I'm thinking in my head from A, B, C, D, from top up, bottom up, but I'm writing them the other way around. But it works for me. So, and I try to comment, well, there are also, the comments are already behind because I've been writing there for one. Well, the first one, I counted everything. I wrote 1 green, 2 green, 3 green, 4 green. So I was certain that I used the correct amount of greens and whites and reds. Because it's more than mildly annoying to find out that you have 2 reds too little and 2 whites too many. Especially here when my ball of yarn is 2,000 kilometers that way. Something like that. And there is a, for the repeat, it just says number of tablets. I try to code this so that I can switch to 6 hold tablets if I want to do that. 3 hold we also use, but 6 was next common to 4. So I got number of tablets, number of holds per tablet. Instead of coding it for full hold stuff, I decided that I want to have the option of doing 6 or 2 or 3. And that's how many pattern repeats. This is still where the repeat bit is where I'm still at, very, because sometimes you want to do 4 turns, 4 turns, 4 turns, 4 turns. And that's where I still need to do some work. But this helps already a lot. Okay, that was that. And that we've seen. Then to something else. Come on. I want you. Obviously, I've also started to use context a lot more for what is meant to be used, for typesetting. One thing is that I'm tired of OpenOffice and Word, and I don't have Word, and OpenOffice is just kind of works.
And the sex.
Yeah. And one thing is I want this, I like the context way of doing imposition. I use that a lot. Different sizes of things. And put things on A4 and cut and fold and all that. And I bought the Lucida OT font, and I've decided that's what I'm going to use. And once Wolfgang gave me the definitions for handwriting and calligraphy, and I think it was Wolfgang and somebody else who helped me with the Gothic, I'm very happy because I got everything I need. Black letter was a bit of a fight, but, and I'm still not, this is the one bit, I don't understand fonts terribly well. That causes a lot of headache, but that happens. But once it's there, it's there. Just like the, this was just like when I was starting with context, my learning curve goes like this, and then it levels out. But first, there are so many things you have to figure out, and until you really understand what you are doing, I've stopped forgetting semicolons now, or at least I find them very soon if I don't remember them. So this is a documentation for a multiple strand bookmark. This went to a museum, and it's very basic, it just tells about, but what is really nice is it's so easy to put in pictures, and I've also, this is reused documentation, which I almost didn't have to like, I just fiddled with the text, but I had all the layout and everything, so it was really easy to work with, and that's what makes life a lot easier. I have somewhere a photo. There. This is a bit shorter version of the documentation. These multiple strand bookmarks went away. I don't want you. Went on sale in connection with Braid's 2012 exhibition. It's just 4 braids with beads and a knot on top. But I like to quote a documentation that tells me what pattern and from where and why. The why is because books in the Middle Ages didn't really have page numbers. They started doing folio numbering and page numbering, but because books were regularly rebound, those numbers got cut off really soon. And so if you were doing like research, you wanted... And there are paintings where you can also see them using slips of pergamon. Parchment. I mean, just like you grab the first piece of paper you find and put it in a book. That's what they did too. But these multiple strand bookmarks, they are very few braids have been left from Middle Ages. They are fragile and they're used. So they expire. But those bookmarks that were in books, they're covered and safe. We know about 30 of them at this point, but more probably will be found at some point. This is in general the thing I do with content. It's kind of, well, it goes into the typesetting department, but it's also, it's content as business tool. I hate packaging, but it has to be done. This is my product for this summer. It's a bookmark, and it's got a handmade finger loop braid. And then there's a, this says that it's a bookmark with a 14th century braid pattern braid, and it's about the maker. And this is where I used layers and frames in contact. Because it had to be, the bag is not long enough for the bookmark to be upright, and I can't find anything that's tall and narrow enough to fit this. So I ended up doing it like this. And I think it works pretty well. And now they can be handled, because they used to be, they were just a pile on the table at medieval market. And now they can be handled, because all of the ones I made are individual, unique. And same thing I got, I'm wearing one of my own, I got finger braided bracelets. This is part of, I made a lot of sample braids with all kinds of threads. And I started thinking what I can do with them, because some of them are quite pretty. So I ended up making them into bracelets, some with a bead, some without. And then and this is also nice because it's two pages in one A4. Should have it here. Oh, nope. Let's go find it. Packaging. There we go. Actually, this is how it looks when it goes into my laser printer. Then I fold and cut it into four parts, and then I fold it. Actually, this is not the one that I used here, but pretty similar. This one I decided. Oh, these are the older ones. These are the English ones, right? That's why. This is the English text. I did a Finnish one later, but it's basically, I need to write some stuff by hand, just because stuff is unique. But I got the base, and it's right size for the bag, so I can just make a pile of them, and then when I have stuff to pack, I grab one bag, I grab one paper, I measure it and dump it in the back, and that's it. And this is, again, this was a lot of work this summer. Well, now it's done. And from now on, I can recycle old stuff. I can change it if necessary. I can have several languages. It's all there. And this is where it really becomes handy. And as I said, I don't love doing the packaging, but it's kind of necessary evil at some point. There are other things that still are in the works, but this is all done. I've been trying to think whether I want to. Originally, I did the mosaic. This is from a wonderful book called Geometric Patterns from Roman Mosaics and How to Draw Them. And the how-to is really easy to implement into MetaPost. The fun thing was, there was some there that you have to draw the curves by hand, and I was like, ha ha, I don't. And this is a Roman floor mosaic from Fishbourne Palace in the UK. What is special with this mosaic is that it is a border, so it really is like that, they're next to each other. Not in this order, by about. But what is special in these is that they are divided differently. This one is divided in the frieze. It's got nine sections. This one is divided by into fourths, or actually, what I've done in this one, I just called it like one quarter. Then I finally, my first version of this mosaic, it sucks big time. The code is really bad. But I suddenly realized that I had been really, really, really stupid and created it so that I just coded this and then rotated it around and then I shift copies of it. So, and this one, This one would be hardest by hand, not by our centimeter measurements, but if you're only working on like dividing stuff. Because that one is divided by 5. But again, I coated one square, and then just copied it over, and then put borders around. Here, actually, also, I managed to get all the fit in the end with just, I had, this is also one thing that I'm trying to mirror stuff. I'm trying to do reflected about, which is a lot of work in MetaPost, and then I suddenly realized I was being real stupid and rotate would work. Shifting and rotating and that kind of stuff, so I'm learning slowly. This is Mosaic version 3. This is the one where the code, they all look alike. If you see the PDF, they look alike. But this is the one where I know the code doesn't suck. At least not so badly. We're not talking about it being great, but it doesn't look quite so nasty. Yeah, there's one thing that's actually already on my homepage, which I didn't open here for some reason, which is related. The Roman mosaic is, it's related to textiles in the way, I mean, originally I made it to think about cards or something like that, but I realized that it actually would make really nice quilts. Because quilting is all about cutting squares and triangles and sewing them together. The Roman mosaic would make wonderful quilts. Possibly some of these are known as quilt patterns, I don't actually know. Not a plate, we'll take that. Again, I didn't, of course, start easy. So one of the first things I did in MetaPost was a quilt knot. What was kind of weird here, the one this was discussed, Hans Chacon, I mentioned this, Celtic key patterns and Celtic patterns. Hans was thinking about that there's lots of, you have to cut off stuff and it's complicated. Well, I was thinking the same way 8th century calligraphers thought. Partly because I've done some calligraphy and illumination, partly because I was reading this book. And I have no clue where I got this. It's cost whole... Actually, I could put this one. That cost whole £3. And this one has cost whole £10. It's been worth it many times over because it explains how the medieval calligraphers did this with compass and ruler. But because they explain it like that, well, there's some stuff where you can cheat. And then there's some stuff that can be implemented into MetaPost pretty easily. It says like this one, explains that there's a corner element. And in MetaPost you don't have to do 4, you do 1 and rotate that one. And there's the side element. And the rest is actually just plain lines in the middle. Because the most work goes into figuring out what is your basic unit in MetaPost. This one originated from the knot, where there are two really gross code and reasonably doable code. It's on my website, but this is the first one I did. So I did a knot. It consists of 4 bits. So the basic knot is that. And this is actually not filled, it's a wide outline. And then I fiddled a bit to get the measurements. Oh, I think I did. This is where I got a quote from Hans. I've been thinking centimeters, millimeters. And then I found out, when I got the same knot coded by Hans, that I can give MetaPost fractions. This is what made the mosaic possible. Because I don't have to count this thing. I don't have to think what's the smallest common denominator or what kind of parts of millimeters I need to count them. I can do fractions. So this one is all based on 16th and 32 and that kind of things. And so I had knot, and once I made the knot, the only thing here is that I got an 8 bit, and then I have, I think actually mine is too big, but I got a middle bit. And this also means that I already have all the parts. I haven't done it, but I have all the parts to do a frame. Because basically I just need a corner, then I need a middle plate, and then I just copy and shift, and I get just what I want, in theory. Sometimes it takes a long time to get what I want, but usually I end up there. This is more what I'm thinking about using as an illustration. Not so much, it might be nice to applique some of this, and that's again, I don't want to do that job twice. So I definitely plan it all out on a computer. And nice thing also with MetaPost and contact and this, I can tell it that I want it to print it out 20 centimeters wide. So I can get a real natural size template, which makes life a lot easier.
Excuse me, so you have done this smaller note by dividing into four quarters, yeah?
Yeah, it's more than, it's got, when you get the book you can see it, it's based on, there's a primary and a secondary and tertiary grid. And
because I think it would be as easy to use the rotation.
Well, it is, I only have, I've only done that.
Yeah, but you,
yeah,
can,
I could
you
probably
can take this L,
yeah,
and rotate it four times.
Yeah.
You will get the same.
Yeah, that's the one thing. There are two things I really, well, one thing is that I got real difficulties understanding loops because I'm not a programmer. I'm just not used to using a loop. I got problems still in figuring out what the smallest unit is that I can use. Just because the transformations are slightly different from, e.g., what you use in Inkscape. And I'm not very good at using them yet. I'm learning all the time, but it takes a lot of practice. Like, I need to work a lot to get there. I was very proud of myself. Because what I did yesterday is to make a totally new implementation of, and it's neither of these, for embroidery. This is black work. I actually think I left, oh, it's not open. Happened to be, I had to cheat and check it, but this is one of the first black work patterns I ever plotted myself out of a photo. Black work is basically, it's a straight stitch. It really, it's almost a binary operation. There's a thread in a hole, there's not a thread in a hole. It's done in a fabric where these lines are threads on a fabric, even with fabric, where all threads are the same size. And you go over one, usually you go over two threads, so you double crossing. And you really, you stitch out from a hole, take the stitch over two threads, you put it down next hole. And real black work is double-sided. It was used in 16th century Spain, Germany, and England for doing places like collars and cuffs. Like if you have a frill on a cuff, you can see both sides. So it's double-sided. And that's usually the hard bit, if you don't have it ready-made and instructions, is to figure out to plot the path, so you can figure out how to get it done. This is like one of those, like magazines sometimes have, you know, how to connect all the dots without doubling on yourself. This is just the same thing. I actually found out that when I have only one stitch here, I have to do two different plottings. This is just a start, and I will have to add arrows and stuff here. But basically what it says is that I start from here, I make that stitch, then I under for those, I make that stitch, I'm under for those. Then I go in to make the pattern. and I go over, under, over. Then I can make this as a side trip, either on the way there or on the way back. I usually try to get everything done on the way there, so it's faster to come back. So I might go over, under, over, under, over, under, over. Then I go under, then I go that, I go there, I go that, I go home. I end up here, I turn, come back the same way, and go under there, so I end up being over here. And then I continue, next one goes the other way because I have to go under there, then over. But what I end up with is a dashed line with finished flowers. So the last thing I need to do when I finish the border is to come all the way back. But that's really easy because there's no counting involved at that point. If you have a dashed line, you have to fill in the blanks. Doesn't take long. This is a very easy pattern. Any plaque patterns take a lot more thought before you. There are also patterns that can't be done single-sided, but most of these historical ones are doable. It's just that it takes a bit of work. And I found that, especially now, I get Stack Overflow so easily that if it's a complicated pattern, I just can't think it up in my head. There is also the other thing, which is that, fair enough, is that one here. Nope. Where are my black work borders? Can't find them. This one was. I'm gonna let you look. It's often they draw it on a grid so that the stitch goes from interchange to interchange, to crossing to crossing. And it can be read, but it really is, if you think about reality, it's not right. Because in reality, the hole is in the middle here. The only thing I found when I started coding this, and it still sucks a bit, but a lot less than it did yesterday. And of course, the straight stitch is shorter than the diagonal stitch. So just doing a straight copy wasn't a good idea. I have to go with the straights and the diagonal separately. I still have a. When I put colors in, I know this. I have a stupid mistake somewhere and I can't spot it on the moment, but that's fine. It will come. But here again, now that I've about worked out the basics on how to do the stitch, this is pretty easy for me. And the only thing, I coded it so that I'm thinking. Put the stitch in the, like, I'm thinking of a square like that. And I have to think a bit with the diagonals that I call them, put them correctly in the coordinates. There. There's also, I did not code this bit the way it's sewn. Instead I did one part of the pattern because it was easier. Again, coding is probably not optimal yet, but there is software, but it's either expensive or Windows only.
Mike, this is in turtle mode.
Sir?
You write it down in turtle mode? Go right, go up, or I couldn't see because of the zoom level. Go down in the source code.
Source code.
What are you doing here?
I'm thinking it's a box. It's a square. And I'm thinking that the horizontal line is the bottom of the box.
Yes.
It's everything starts from left bottom corner. Even this, so this is horizontal stitch, vertical stitch. Again, it goes from left corner on. DDN is diagonal down. And in this case, it looks funny because it starts from zero, so you'd think that it goes down minus one, but it doesn't. Because I'm thinking of a box.
You can make the macro do the.
Yeah, well, this is all things that I need to learn.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten that far yet. But, and then there's somewhere there's, oh, I'm not using any D-ops, but there's also a D-op, obviously. But again, this makes my life much easier when I want to do the colors, when I want to do the plot the root. Because I just need to switch the color here and that's it. And many of these schematics I can deal with the MetaPost built-in colors. I mean, I can deal with black, red, blue, green, and gone pretty far. It's not always that pretty, but these are schematics and these are mostly for me. So I don't care. It's just a fast way to get all of it. I actually found in my MetaFun book on contact users, I found a wonderful quote. I just need to refine it because, surprise, surprise, my MetaFun book is full of tags at the moment. It's not built. It's not written for me. But I can get a lot out of it by just like this at the moment. Because there's a lot that goes like, I don't understand what this is. And it really, I operate on the need to know basis. So when I need to know, I dig it up. And then I put a tag. So the quote I found was the words of John Hoppe, the creator of MetaPost. MetaPost is particularly well suited for generating figures for technical documents where some aspects of a picture may be controlled by mathematical or geometrical constraints that are best expressed symbolically. In other words, MetaPost is not meant to take the place of freehand drawing tool or even an interactive graphics editor. And this is, I mean, there are other crafters who are doing computing and the other way around. But it's still surprising if you, it's also funny that you have women who say that they don't understand anything about math, and then they start knitting, and they are suddenly easily doing complex functions about trying to figure out like how many stitches you need and what amount of stitches do you need for a certain lace pattern, that kind of thing. And they can count all, they can do all this math. And same
what
thing.
What about jumping from one branch to another branch?
But it's really, it's I find it very odd that you can't, that, because this is really, a lot of crafts, like this is going to be one of the next projects. This is a book about Sami crafts in northern Norway. There are lots of things that are related to Finland. It's the heddle weaving, and these are pretty good. But there's a photo and there's a graph. The threading charts suck, but now that I've done tablet weaving threading chart, I think I can do this easily. But then I have some open-end braiding, plaiting, just like related to hair braid. And these drawings suck big time. I can see from the photo, and this is what I call a simple whipcord, which I can almost do in my sleep with a couple of bobbies or a bit of weight. But these pictures suck. I can't tell based on either that this is what I'm used to calling. So I am going to try to figure out how to rework this stuff. I got a book on Chinese braiding that has pretty nice, Jackie Carey has thought a pretty good way of doing that. And then these simulations, again, MetaPost will make life easier there, I think. Because these are all hand-drawn. And, well, some of these places are very, then they have, again, knitting part. This is a piece of cake. It's also, it's just on a grid. Of course, what it doesn't quite say that most people don't knit exactly square. But that's another thing. Another story. But that's a lot of topography, lots of math. The other thing I'm thinking about, fitting stuff to path, I do also jewelry. And these are both very close to the style I do. I often combine small beads with big beads. And Well, I like playing with my beads. I like putting them on the table. I figure out what I want to do. When you're making the whole thing, or like here, I had only so and so many of the red drop-like ones. And I'm still not happy with the middle. So I'm thinking about figuring out. And there's also the thing that you can, of course, easily put round things or oblong bits on a line. But sometimes that doesn't exactly describe how they're going to look like on a necklace. Or a necklace, sometimes you want to grade things. These are not graded, but sometimes you want to put big stuff here. And then you find out that if you put the same big stuff in the neck, it looks really clumsy. So you want to grade things. So, and especially Japanese beads are very exactly measured. You know you have 3 millimeter beads, you know you have 4 millimeter beads. Many other things also, they are close enough, but this is slightly graded to the end actually, the pearls are graded. And here I had actually threaded most of the necklace before I realized that I'm dealing with drops. And if I thread them all the wrong way, or the same way, it's going to look really funny when it's hung on my neck. So I had to unpick half of it and put the big red thing in the middle so I could get it to be symmetric. It might taste symmetric, of course, that's a matter of taste. But it's still another thing is this. This is Japanese kumihimo. Usually it's done on a bigger stand, but this is a portable mobidai. I actually made a big pile of this yesterday while queuing. This is actually a very easy pattern to do. Not even that much work. And this morning I realized that it's actually only that it has 16 threads, and there are actually 4 groups. 2 pairs, opposite pairs are always a group. And I realized this morning how they form the pattern. So now I can I can simulate the pattern on a, I can flatten it out, simulate it on MetaPost, and I can make different patterns, which has been this part. And it's also, it's once it's set up, the pattern forms when you make it, but you don't have to do anything active. That's almost a no-brainer, that one. There are also others. And there's also, there's not really a fixed way of doing it. So the way Jackie Carey marks them, she's used more space. And this is all. Her instructions are pretty good. But they don't always work with the plate. But I'm going to take, again, the schematics are very easy. There is a round, and then there are spots. The Japanese actually mark them with north, south, west, and east. There's always these pictures, they have always N for north. And if I'm doing it on a stand, north is away from me, south is next to me. I also found that my stand needs to be marked so I know which way is which, because it's totally unmarked, and that was a bit interesting. So her instructions are good, but that braid isn't here. But I'll probably copy her pretty closely, possibly with a bit more steps. But then, this is a German book, but they use a Japanese way of marking the braiding. This is actually intended, you take it off, you put it on top of your braiding disc. It's supposed to tell you how to braid. The problem is that I really don't understand this, and I hate it. I hate it big time. So when I saw that pattern in the book, I was like, I have to do that. And then it took me 15 million years to figure out what it really was. Here's the mark is here on the correct spot. And if they are like, oh, it's Congo. Okay, Congo braid. So where do I find how to make a Congo braid? Because I don't understand anything of your instructions. That's why it has so long loose ends, because the beginning was total mess. I will have to try that once I've done it to the top, I'll turn it upside down and see if I can undo it, because I think it can be done the other way around. Possibly so that now I'm doing it clockwise, it will be done anti-clockwise. But anyway, so I got a problem that I got a book with lots of nice patterns, which I can't read. So I also think that if I rework those patterns in MetaPost into something I understand, I will learn a lot about braiding. I will hopefully learn to understand that the whole braiding a lot better. So I'll understand both Kumihimo and MetaPost better after I've done that.
How do you distinguish a braid and a braid?
This is actually really weftless braiding is usually called, or Brits call it plaiting, which is what a hair braid is. Braid in general can be any type of narrow wear, but usually it's the structure and the tools. So finger loop braiding is done with loops. Open end braiding is done with open ends. So kumihimo is open end braiding as well. Then there's weaving, which means you always have a warp and a weft, and then you can weave with tablets or heddle, and that makes different structures. But then you start getting, in anything else, they kind of flow into each other. So bobbin lace has developed from plating made with bobbins. And then there also comes the point when you start discussing whether it's a... Some of those Japanese things are so large, I would call them fabrics and not braids. Even though they are made on a stand so that weft and warp is originally the same. There's also the Celtic knot patterns. Most of them are actually something you could do with a rope. There's also rope work can be counted in the braiding. Once you get deep in, it gets really fishy, which is probably not surprising. But the tablet weaving is also, it's very complicated because you have tablet weaving that's, you thread it on and it's there. These are threading patterns. This is also one of my old samples. Then there's the things where you do a simple walk and then you decide the pattern while you're weaving. Or you can put in extra thread and do a brocade. This is also something I want to use MetaPost for, planning the double-sided patterns. Because they should be, they are on a grid and they are pain in the butt to do with anything else. Because the software that I used to use does not work in my Mac. So it's like out of question. And there's also this funny thing, like I got stuck on typesetting. This is a sentence that contains all the letters of the English alphabet, which is, I took it partly because of that and because it's halfway period. And even though I worked a bit on letter spacing and word spacing, it still sucks. It doesn't suck quite as early. I should have shortened the ligature on L, or the sheriff on L. One problem is also that my hand is slightly... I don't beat the weft strong enough, so my hand is stretchy rectangular, and I should allow for that. That's in all my weaving, so I just have to allow for it. So, the font is also, I had to shorten it a bit. It was for 20 tablets, I only had 16. But more it is that my weaving sucks a bit, and when I did this, the software did this. It comes from a software, but it was done like typewriter font. Same space after each letter. Not good. You need to do some kerning. And doing it by hand was, I wasn't really good at it. I know in theory how to make it look good, but I need a bit more practice still. And this is where I'm thinking that all these double-sided patterns that I can dump a bitmap as a background picture and then I can put a grid on top and then I can adjust the grid until it fits. And that should, this is my first. There's somebody else clobbered with it in between, but this is one of my first tries. That's why the colors are somewhat ugly, because that was like, take the first balls of wool you find. And this is just, I feel that I've just begun. That I got... When I do crafts,
well,
I always...
Your hair upside down, yeah.
Which?
Liquid.
Are you on the wrong side? No.
Why not?
No. It's just the font look like that. Yeah, as I said, the L really should have lost the.
Down,
it should have lost the top serif for most of it. Seriously. One more thing that isn't a textile, but I want to, because this is like one of my big successes. I think. Somewhere I got. Oh, that was what I was supposed to say. Actually, this is what I want to end with, because this is. This mess is when I had a journalist over to write an article about braiding and braids and my braids and that kind of stuff. I took everything out of boxes and bags.
Ooh.
And sprayed it on the bed. So there's my. There's a sprang wop, which is plating on a frame. There's a rigid handle for weaving band. There's a tablet weaving wop. Here are some of my finger loop braid samples. Open end braiding. There are the tablet weaving samples. And it pretty much fit lower bed already. That was kind of scary. And this is just braids, never wears. It has no, there's no embroidery, no quilting, no sewing. Like sewing, I was thinking I need to make a short skirt, circle skirt for ballet. I was thinking about, suddenly like, I found a pattern but it's not exactly right. I suddenly went, oh, I can do this in metapose too. I may also want it as a spiral in that case I need to count it out on metapose. There's no way I can get it done otherwise. And then there is there's a jewelry, and then there's also paper craft, which is, this is a card I made. It's a condolence card. Let's see how I get full screen. Enter full screen, please. What I did. And it took me 50 million years to get it done, but I really badly wanted to get it done. I found a background that has rain, and then I found a nice poem. The problem was that this was for a friend who got a stillborn baby. And the condolence cards you get in a shop are for adults. And I wanted something that showed my condolences, but was not totally dark. Also, the child was called Myrsky Storm, so the rain fits also there. But the poem is kind of calm. It's in Finnish, but it fitted the purpose. I found the poem first, and then I had a vision. And usually, sometimes I have a vision and it sucks so badly that when I try it out, it's like, oh, no go. But sometimes, very rarely, it hits the spot, and this one was. So I still don't like this is the handwriting in Lucid LT, and I don't like the word spacing, but I wasn't about to fight with it anymore. But I managed to use layers, get the rain on the background, get the poem on top, get it laid out so it feels about all the space. What I did after that, I printed it, I tore it, and glued it onto a blue card. Because it was a boy, so I thought blue is, and it's also appropriate for sorrow. And then on the back side I wrote a very short note. And it was a sad purpose, but I really liked the result, and I'm probably going to reuse this idea. Because I can change the background picture, I can change the font, I can change the poem, I can cut this with the curative punches instead of tearing it. This is also one thing why I used contact. This time, everything went right on the first go. Normally, this doesn't happen. When I'm tearing it, it's quite possible I tear the paper in half, which is nice. When it's PDF, you print a new one and try again. If it's hand done, that's too bad. So as long as I don't trust my skills more than this, I like the option of getting new ones. I brought a very mixed pile of braids, which I'm probably going to pile on the table behind me because that's where it was. So if you want to like take a look at the rest, feel free. These are all more or less samples. They are meant to be clobbered. Or this one, this warp has been floating around for about 10 years. And I'm debating whether I want to braid it or not. I may want to switch to different bobbins and then braid it. I don't know. This also, this one is not braid, but this is like some more experience. This is a plain four-element braid made with electric wire from our phone, our own phone setter. I just grabbed colorful wire from work and thinking I could do some braids on that. More, I still need to experiment. I got lots left, but some of it needs to be shelled first, so I haven't gotten that far. But that's really, that was a lesson of textile topology, I think. We're a little late, but
yeah.
So we should probably leave the questions until I'm sorry I took. I was like, I can't fill an hour, but it seems like I can fill a whole day probably. So I should stop now and let everybody go to lunch.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you.
They have to be short questions. If they're complicated questions, then Mari has a Metapost workshop tomorrow. And it's a better place for technical, complicated questions.
Well, okay. I would like to see how you do it, this thing with all the parts.
That's actually one of the reasons why I grabbed this walk. So if I get Freddy, I'll show, or then I can always be a bit, but the parts are not so suitable for talking at the same time because it takes concentration. But this is going to be a very simple band, so I can talk a wave.
Can you give a short explanation as to why you need the 2 cent coins?
Sorry?
You asked for €2.
Yeah, that was in the very beginning. It's for a bobbin, for a little thing to put yarn on. Because I need to weigh about 3 grams. 2 cents and 1p. And now I have lots of 2 cent coins.
Oh.
Now I'm pretty happy.
How many kilograms of 2 cent coins did you get already?
Oh, I got a big bag. I don't know if you...
900 grams.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But there's also one other thing for small coins, is use a counterweight for the kumihimo. Because a coin base is always the same. So when you need 200 grams of counterweights, you know that you need so and so many coins. Grab a handful of coins and dump them in a bag, and that's it. Yeah, any samples can go around until they're at the back, and then that can be dumped on that side table, so not in a hurry to get them back.
Thanks again.